1 Corinthians 10, let us just look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight again for those who have come this evening. We pray, Lord, as we look for a short time at thy word, that thou would bless us and guide us. And Lord, that thou would even teach us, would be warned tonight. And the Lord, amidst the warnings, that would be comforted and encouraged, that thou were able to come and deliver us. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Well, those of you who were able to come out this morning will know that it was difficult. It's a little bit easier tonight, but we don't want to prolong you too long in case it does freeze or some parts. I know in our hill, we live up on the hill, it's still pretty dicey due to the ice getting down, or as we say, up again. But this morning we did start just a few minutes late, and it was a hymn just picked on the moment. And the hymn, I didn't pick it, it was Gillian actually. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. And that's the desire of every child of God, to go on with God, to go on to higher ground. We don't want to slip back. We don't want to slip back down the hill. Sadly, it happened to some climbers over in Wales yesterday, tragically, to their death. We don't want to slip back. Now, we made it up after church this morning. We were wondering whether we'd get up onto the road, because a couple of years ago when it was so bad, I remember one night we couldn't get up there at all and we had to turn and go right away round another road. The car just wouldn't go up. We kept slipping back. And so this afternoon I've been thinking about that thought, slipping on the ice. Maybe you have seen accidents already today. I'm told there are some cars that have gone into the hedges and into the banks, even round Newtownards. I said Mrs. Murray told me of two they'd seen not far from where they are, and cars coming down from Cumber direction, probably going fast, I presume, and didn't realise there was slush and ice at the Newtownards end, and ended up in trouble. The cars, as many a person has slipped today, many have fallen down, hurt themselves. No doubt we'll hear in the news that the more admissions to hospital at this time of year when it's icy with people falling. Mentioned this morning when I come out with a car, I was just slipping all over the place this morning and was late, of course, arriving. And how many of those who have had accidents today thought I'll be all right? Other people, they can't drive in snow the way I can. I'll be fine. And I wonder, did some not heed the warnings? I wonder if any have had accidents today because they wouldn't listen. They just speeded on their way. And what a lesson that is to us spiritually. There's many a person won't heed the warning to repent and turn to Christ. They've been warned again and again that you need to be saved, you need to come now, don't delay. But other people will happen to them, but not me. Not me. I remember as a young pastor, somebody said to me, you'll soon learn in visiting hospitals that the majority of people, even when they're in the terminal ward, think they're going to live forever. That might be a slight exaggeration, but there's a lot of truth about human nature. We think accidents are something that happened to other people. Death is something that happens to other people. And we tend not to prepare. Well, I was thinking about that slipping. And so I took this afternoon going through the Bible and the word slipping. It's amazing. Some lovely verses. I think of 2 Samuel 22:37, where the psalmist said, as does David, thou hast enlarged my steps under me so that my feet did not slip. So David's saying, I didn't slip. Others were slipping, but I didn't slip. And it's your grace, Lord, you kept me from slipping. Of course, in Psalm 73 and 2, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. And then I noticed another one, Psalm 94:18, when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O Lord, held me up. You ever been walking on ice and then somebody's holding up, you don't go right down. And that's what David said. I was about to slip, but Lord, you were there holding me. Then I thought, of course, of sliding. Isn't that what you like to do in the snow and ice? We slide, we slip and we slide. And of course, the word we often talk about, back sliding. Back sliding. And we could give many examples of Scripture, of great men and women of God, and we look up to them. They were giants of the faith. But they slid back. They slid back. David, of course, a man after God's own heart. And yet what a classic example of backsliding in his life. When others went out to war, he didn't go out. He took it easy. He thought he would be all right. And he fell into the awful sin. And it's in the Bible to warn us. It's possible to slide. You think of him, you think of Lot, you think of many others. And I'm sure if we were to talk to them, did you expect this to happen? No. I didn't plan it. Didn't plan it. Now, that's not to excuse their sin in any way. But they didn't expect. Just as if you slide, sometimes you can't stop. Have you ever had that in a car in the snow or ice and it starts to go and now you're almost helpless to stop it? And what a lesson that is spiritually. That we can start the down road slide. And there seems to be very little we can do about it. And then I thought of this passage, and I want to just refer a few things to it here in this 1 Corinthians chapter 10. There's an old man years ago used to say, when he would hear of Christians who had fallen into sin, he said, well, that man or woman fell today, it could be me tomorrow. You say, well, that's a strange thing. Well, it's not really, if you look at our text in verse 12 of 1 Corinthians 10. Wherefore, because of all these stories about Israel, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. It's slippy out there. Warning on the forecast, and they'll tell you in Radio Ulster, they'll give you the weather. Maybe you'll listen more intently tomorrow. Those of you who have to venture out in the car, maybe to work, you'll turn on Good Morning Ulster, and they'll say, we're just going over to the weather forecast. What's the weather going to be like today? And then they'll say, we'll now go to the roads. What are the roads like? And you listen for a warning. And Paul is writing this to the Corinthian Christians, and he's saying, warning! Here's a spiritual weather warning. You could slip. You could slide. You could fall. Yes, you could do it. Oh, but I'm okay. I'll never. You could fall. Because it's dangerous out there. Little did the Israelites know when they were going through the wilderness, about 1,500 years before Paul wrote this. Little did they think that hundreds of years later, yea, thousands of years later, their experiences would teach us. But that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Do you notice there in verse 6 he said these are examples to us. These are examples. And he repeats down in verse 11, and samples is the same word. It's actually the word translated type, typos, type. You know, you talk about a type. So that's what it is in the Greek, a type. And that just means something that is an illustration. Something that's there to teach us. You notice in verse 11 it is to our admonition. That means to place in our mind. Can you see what Paul is saying? He's saying, I want you to remember the stories you've heard in the Old Testament. And I'm sure many of us have heard it since Sunday school days. I want you to think back over the experience of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt. Now remember, they were saved in Egypt. These are saved people he's writing to. These are believers. In verse 1, he calls them brethren. He says later, neither let us. He's speaking to those who are believers. Now, there are many examples in the Old Testament, of course, to all people. And there's many examples, I think, of Esau. He's a type. He's an illustration for those who are not saved to flee to Christ while you have time and not to be caught up with the things of materialism that would keep us from coming to Christ. But these are examples specifically to believers, brethren. I want to point out three warnings. Three warnings when there's icy weather. Three warnings when there's danger you could slip and slide and fall down. And of course, hurt yourself. Hurt yourself. Oh, and sometimes when we're out playing in the snow and we fall in the snow, we have a good laugh and we... if you fall, your friends, they'll just laugh at you. You slipped. But of course, there can be serious falls on the ice where people break legs or even worse or harm. That's not a laughing matter.
That's not playing in the snow. That's danger. And there's danger when it's icy. And there's car accidents. And people can get hurt. And just as there's icy weather warnings, here's a spiritual weather warning for Christians. And there's three warnings, I believe, here. Number one, he said, look out. Spiritual ignorance. Look what he says in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant. Now, what that means is, of course, uninformed. Uninformed. That's what it means. Don't be uninformed. It's not a derogatory term here, as we sometimes say, that man's ignorant. It doesn't mean that. It just means if you haven't heard the weather warning, if you've gone out in the morning and not listened to the radio, or not looked at the internet to see what the weather's going to be like, and so you're speeding along the road and you weren't told there was black ice, and you've gone into danger. I still vividly remember quite a number of years ago when we lived in Five Mile Town. I was going with some of the children over to school, and we went out through Clabby, if you know it, and we turned, and I was going fairly slow, slower than I normally go, because it did look a bit cold, and I didn't realise there was what's called black ice. It had rained and frozen. You couldn't see any white. You didn't know the road. And I went round the corner of Clavey, and I could just feel the car going. The road's very cambered, sloped, and I could just feel it going off to the side into the ditch. And I was able to turn side to the children, just hold on, we're going to go into the ditch. It just took so, seemed to be so long, and the car just went down. And there was a UDR patrol, and they saw us, they came down, and I remember the soldiers getting out, down they went. The soldiers couldn't even stand on the road, literally. They were holding on to the vehicle. We tried to climb up onto the road, and our feet were going. It was just like a sheet of black ice. You couldn't see it. There were 8 accidents in that short distance, we found out later. The UDR went down the road to try and stop people coming. It was just that particular stretch. It was all right. The 3 miles we had come, nothing. But just that particular stretch. It was like a sheet of ice rink. We hadn't heard the warning, so they went to warn others. And the UDR, whoever he was, the tenant, the one, he says, look, get down the road and get some type of warning. Get on to the police. Tell them there's warning. Warn the cars. There's going to be terrible accidents here if we don't warn. Fortunately, I was going fairly slow. You see, we weren't informed. We didn't know. And so Paul is saying, look, here's a danger from ignorance. Don't be ignorant about this. Don't be uninformed, Christian. Make sure you know there's danger. And to show the danger, he said, look, don't be ignorant about this. Remember, God are the people in the Old Testament that he redeemed out of Israel. And look at how blessed they were. In verse 1, they were all under the cloud. That's that cloudy, fiery pillar, you remember, that covered them at night and went before them. That was the presence of the Lord. He was with them. He was with them. His presence. You see, the Lord went before in the pillar of the cloud. They had the Lord's presence. Have you had the Lord's presence in your life? Can there be times in your life you can say, my, the Lord was with me? And then that God's power, all of them passed through the sea. These people saw God open the Red Sea. And by the way, it wasn't just a, you know, you see in children's storybooks, just a little bit open, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 abreast. No, no. You think of the hundreds of thousands. It must have been miles for all of them to pass in one night. But they all went through in one night. It was like, what a miracle. And they all saw that. They had the Lord's presence. They saw God's power. They had God's provision. For he went on to say they all did drink. They are verse 4. The spiritual drink. The living water out of the rock that was smitten. They took the same spiritual bread. The manna. God supplied them. Can you say in your life, oh, since I've been saved, there's times God's presence has been so real, and I felt his power, and I've known his provision of grace in my life. And verse 4 tells us that rock was Christ. You know, the Lord was with them. They knew God's person. God's person. Isn't that wonderful how favored they were? But here's what Paul doesn't want them to be ignorant of. Watch out for ignorance. They failed. in spite of all those blessings, verse 5, but, after all the favour, and you, Christian, have been favoured, I've been favoured, but with many of them God was not well pleased. And then he says in verse 6, are examples. What did they do? Just very quickly in verse 6, they lusted after. In other words, they desired things that God didn't want them to have. You remember, they wanted the leeks and the onions and the things of Egypt that they'd been delivered from. God was angry. And then he says, neither were idolaters. And that refers to the golden calf. You remember that story, don't you? See, Paul is giving them, reminding them of the lessons they'd learned from childhood. We'd call them their Sunday school lessons. See, and you remember those years ago, it's recorded there in the book of Exodus, Aaron making the golden calf. Well, remember that, Christian. They were blessed. They had privileges. They were favoured. But the field talks about them committing fornication. That's over in Numbers 26. 23,000 were killed by God in a plague because of the immorality that took place. Don't forget that. They tempted in verse 9. You say, what's that about? Well, that's in Numbers 21 that led to the serpents going among the people. They questioned God. They questioned. And they said, God's brought us into the wilderness just to kill us. And they spoke against God. And not only that, but in verse 10, they murmured. They murmured. They're murmuring against Moses and against Aaron and against God. Can you see what Paul's saying? Danger of spiritual ignorance. Don't think because you're so favoured that you couldn't fall. Because the Israelites had all these blessings. The Lord's people. With that cloudy, fiery pillar that went before them. They went through the Red Sea and they saw God's miraculous power. God fed them miraculously with the manna. God gave them water out of the rock. The Lord was with them, but they failed. But not only spiritual ignorance, spiritual arrogance. Arrogance. Look out for spiritual arrogance. You have that in our text. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. That's the haughty spirit. Oh, yes, Israel did it, but not us. See, those Israelites, they fell, but it would never happen to us. We wouldn't do it. Pride. Pride. And how dangerous pride is. Of course, we need to define what pride really is. Pride is thinking we don't need the Lord. Pride is thinking that we can do it on our own. Pride is what prevents us from beseeching God to be with us, from crying to Him to hold us up and to protect us. That's what we mean by pride. Sometimes people don't understand what pride is. Like the woman that went to her pastor and said, Pastor, I'm afraid I'm guilty of the sin of pride. Would you pray for me? She says, what do you mean the sin of pride? Well, this morning I spent an hour looking at the mirror just thinking how beautiful I am. Pastor said, dear, that's not the sin of pride. That's just delusion. But anyway, pride is thinking that we can do it without the Lord. That's what spiritual pride is. Pride is what causes prayerlessness. Pride is what causes us to think that we are more spiritual than others. And Paul's warning is very clear in this verse. He's saying, beware of spiritual arrogance. You are vulnerable. You'll never reach a stage in the Christian life where you're above temptation and you're above a fall. And the one that's up in high places, it's more slippy. And you could fall back from the mountaintop. Somebody once said this, it's a shame that when success turns a person's head, it doesn't also wring his neck a little bit to get him to think. Oh, many's a person has been lifted up with pride. We ought to say, someone else falls, oh, that's just them. The person we need to trust least of all is ourselves. You know, it ought to shock us, and yet it doesn't. When somebody falls and we hear of something happening, that where people will say, oh, well, I would never do that. Well, that's one thing, I would never do that. That's spiritual arrogance. Paul is saying, if you think You'll never fall. Look out. You're just the one.
You see, when Satan tempts somebody, he tempts them at their strongest point, which is their weakest point. And therefore he comes to tempt you at your strongest point. Because that's your weakest point. Say, what are you talking about? You're talking in riddles. What was Peter's strongest point? It was courage. Don't you think of Peter as a man, everybody else will wonder what. He just barges in and speaks. You think of Paul, courageous, strong. Where did the Satan cause him to fall? Where did he slip? Where did he backslide? Said to the Saviour, though all these others, James and Bartholomew and even Andrew, my brother, they'll all forsake you and run away, but not me. That's one thing I would never do. And you know, he meant that. He thought, he was so deluded he thought that was true. And his strong point was that. But he fell. That's what I mean. Sometimes our strongest point can be our weakest point. Because we think we can do it. And we think we don't cry to the Lord for help. And instead of the haughty spirit, spiritual arrogance, we need that humble spirit. Paul talked about restoring him that had fallen in the spirit of weakness. Paul said, I know, and remember he's a believer, I know that in me dwelleth no good thing. Apart from the grace of God, he knew he could fall and bring disgrace upon the Lord's name. You see, you think about it. If an innocent man, and I'm thinking of Adam now, his innocency, and I mean he had never known sin, if he could disobey God and take that fruit, and disobey God, could you or I do it? If Noah, that upright man, could get drunk? If Abraham, the man of faith, could become afraid and lie about his wife? If David, the man after God's own heart, could sin so terribly? If Jonah, a great prophet of the Lord, could run away from God's will and be so disobedient, what about us? What about Samson, the strongest man? And yet he was overcome by the woman. We could go on, so many examples. Jacob. My, how he failed too, Israel. Lot, what an example he is. I think just for bringing a lady into it, what about Sarah? She laughed at God's word. And then when the angel, who was really the Lord, you know the story, said, Sarah, you laughed. She lied to the Lord. No, I didn't. You say, how could a woman, and Sarah was a great lady. These are great giants of the faith. But they fell. And it was often at what you would think was their strongest point, and they fail. And so when you hear the icy roads, and we say to you, be careful when you're driving. And do be careful tonight when you're going home, by the way, especially if you live in a high place. Be careful. Beware. Beware of spiritual ignorance. Beware of spiritual arrogance. There's one more, just briefly. Beware of spiritual defiance. Where did I get that from? Verse 13. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. You see, God will give you a way out. If you will humble yourself and look to the Lord, there can be deliverance. There can be protection. There's a way of escape. Of course, you think of what we know as the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, Lord, lead me not into temptation. If there's that crying to God, there's always a way of escape. And of course, that way of escape is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's knowing him as Savior. It's looking to him. It's trusting in him. We sang, would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. It's relying every moment upon the Lord, realizing that I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. There is a way of escape.
It's walking humbly with God. It's relying upon Him. It's in the time of temptation to look to Him. It's not lowering our guard. It's not being at ease in Zion. It's being prayerful and not prayerless. It's looking upon the Lord. And so what do I mean? Look out. Look out from the spiritual defiance. If God makes a way of escape and we don't take it. Defiant. We'll fall. We'll fall. You and I have had privileges. Greater, I suppose we could say, than the children of Israel. This church, too, is a great privilege. But these icy roads need to warn us. Take heed. Take heed lest we fall. Take heed lest we fall. But I was reading about that, the spiritual ignorance, arrogance, defiance. And notice verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? That follows immediately. The cup of blessing which we bless. You see, that cup of His blood reminds us of forgiveness. It reminds us that our salvation is by grace. You see, we're not talking in these verses about falling away from salvation. That's why I read those verses at the beginning. Let me read you another one I haven't read yet. Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. Oh yes, the Lord is saying, look out. Don't be falling spiritually and slipping and sliding. You'll hurt yourself. You can bring dishonor on the Lord's name. But listen, Proverbs 24:16, another one. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. You see, God keeps the true believer. There's forgiveness with God. Isn't that wonderful? That's an encouraging note to end on. Oh, there's a warning. But when you're the Lord's, He'll lift you up again and protect you. You see, you think of Lot. What a classic example when people are talking about sliding back is Lot. Godly uncle, wonderful privileges. But he looked towards Sodom, and then he leaned towards it, built his tent, and then he lived right in it. And if you didn't have the New Testament, you wouldn't know he was a believer, but the New Testament tells us, righteous Lot. The just man falleth seven times. You say, righteous? He wasn't living very right. No, he wasn't. But he was righteous. How do you explain that? Because Lot had the work of grace done in his life. He was one of the Lord's people. He had been redeemed. We are saved. When we trust Christ as our Savior, God puts the righteousness of Christ to our account and we are His. And those whom He saves, He keeps. We're talking about the practical Christian life of not slipping and sliding and bringing reproach upon our Saviour's name. But listen, thank God for the communion, which is the blood of Christ, that keeps His people secure, keeps His people saved, and watches over them. That enlarge my steps so that my feet will not slip. But then I noticed a fearsome verse. I finish with this. Psalm 73, verse 18. Surely thou didst set them in slipping places, thou castest them down into destruction. That's Psalm 73:18. Earlier in that same psalm, the psalmist said his foot was well nigh slipped. But then he said, you see, when I look at the wicked, Lord, you have caused them to slip. Not just down and then the Lord lift them up again as He does with the child of God and forgives and restores us, but right into destruction. How terrible. When we hear the icy warnings on the road and the weather forecast, Christian, it should cause us to cry out, Lord, keep me by Your grace so that I'll not slip. And thank You, Lord, You'll keep me from utterly falling, and You'll keep me to heaven. Let's sing just a verse or two of